Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for
the
your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
Is Christianity socialist? Part one, and in brief recap, Christianity is about faith, and faith is not fantasy. It's rooted in reality. Socialism is rooted in fantasy. And it's contrary to nature and to nature's God. Is Christianity socialist? Part two. Socialism sees we the people as a collective, a group. Christianity sees we the people as individuals, each created in God's image and likeness, receiving their intrinsic value and individual human rights from their creator. Socialists define the people in subgroups who derive their rights from their identity within that group. Christians don't do that, not real Christians. Related news, what has the DSA in store for us? What are the Islamists up to? What are they trying to pull? And what about the traitor Republicans? What do they have in store for us? It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Friend, Christianity is not socialist. Christianity is about faith, and faith is not fantasy. It's rooted in reality. Socialism is rooted in fantasy. It's contrary to nature and to nature's God. Christianity aligns under God and in cooperation with and in recognition of nature. Christianity is unique among the world's religions in many ways, but chiefly this: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost appeal to empirical evidence to support their claims. In one really startling example, Jesus said, quote, "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works." End quote. John 10:37-38. Christian faith is grounded in reality, the empirical world of evidence, as God created it. Romans 1:17-32. Socialism is a system built on sand. It's grounded in fantasy. It's believed in the imagination, but it has no support in the real world. It is a utopian fantasy that produces the opposite of what it promises. Furthermore, Christianity says that our Creator became flesh and dwelt among men. And that separates Christianity, genuine Christianity, from many false sects that call themselves Christian. We believe that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, that Christ, our Creator, has come in the flesh of Adam's race. Creator God became created man. Is Christianity socialist? In brief, socialism sees we the people as a collective, a group. Christianity sees we the people as individuals, each one created in God's image and likeness, receiving their intrinsic value and individual human rights from their Creator. Socialists define the people in subgroups who derive their rights from their identity within that group. Now, friend, Sunday morning, this coming Sunday morning, during the morning worship service begins at 10:45, I'll be showing straight from the Bible the proof that genuine biblical Christianity is Republican in form and capitalist in function. That's a shocker. Wait till you see it. It is the reason Christians found a place in the founding of this nation and in the beginning of our refounding, back when Jerry Falwell launched Moral Majority back in the day. In other words, we are going to look directly at the biblical passages liberals use to claim Christianity is socialist, and show that it's an example of Satan using the Bible to tempt Jesus in the wilderness. Because if you see what else the Bible says, You need to get your family into church this Sunday. I hope to see you at the Lighthouse. Right now, Is Christianity Socialist Part 2? In Part 1, I laid down the argument that faith is grounded in empirical evidence, as I pointed out in the introduction, whereas fantasy is not. Socialism is a utopian fantasy. Capitalism is grounded in reality, the truth about man and the physical world he lives in. And when you follow the path of reality, you end up with most of what it is they're trying to offer you in socialism. And if you follow the path of socialism, you end up with none of it. There is not a single example of a successful, thriving socialist nation before Reagan. The examples modern Marxists point to today include capitalist economic principles like private ownership, profit incentives, competitive market pricing, foreign capital investment. It's like everything else with these people. The chief operating principle is hypocrisy. The CCP, that's the Chinese Communist Party of China, was nearly starved out of existence under its founder, Mao. Mao's successor, Deng Xiaoping, initiated aggressive market reforms beginning in 1978. He led the party to encourage private enterprise, to end collective farming practices, and turn farming over to family operations. By 1980, the Chinese people were no longer fearing starvation. Under Xiaoping, the party commercialized other large economic sectors, manufacturing and industrial enterprises began to flourish. Factories were allowed to retain a profit. Think of that. And production decisions and pricing were returned to the private companies. China's industrial output of privatized manufacturing produced more than 78% of China's national output. On the township and village levels, locally owned businesses began to reappear. The party promoted private home ownership and eventually secured constitutional protections for private property. Although China allowed free enterprise, however, of course, the Red Dragon kept a watchful and suspicious eye on the people's activity and tightly regulated their freedoms. America keeps a watchful eye on the government intrusion into our inalienable rights, at least it does under Trump. But the point is that China's prosperity is attributable to the degree to which it has capitulated to capitalist principles. Yeah, it's a communist dictatorship virtually funded by capitalist economic reforms. It's the closest thing to Nazism, Hitler's Socialist Party, to rise into force since World War II. Maybe we should be paying attention. What do you think? Vietnam is touted as a prosperous socialist state governed by the Communist Party. And you'll notice that, by the way. You'll see the countries like China, Vietnam, North Korea, and so on, are governed by the Communist Party. It's the same party, friend. That's what unites them, the Communist Party. They always call themselves socialists. You ever notice that? These communist countries always call themselves socialists. Because they get it. The economic policies that describe communism were adopted from the socialist movement associated with Robert Owen in Britain, and then there's some guy in France, Fourier or something like that. Also because Stalin and Mao gave communism a really bad name, you think? But don't let anyone kid you. Socialism is communism, with the only real difference being socialism wears a smiley face and uses purple Barney the dinosaur as its mascot. You do know sarcasm when you hear it, I think. It's a fitting mascot, by the way. A purple Tyrannosaurus Rex, right? An LGBTQ identifying carnivore that smiles and bounces and sings and claps while signing bills that legalize murdering infants all the way to birth. They giggle and bounce and dance and sing about numbers. They're fun. I just watch one of these Barney things about numbers. Like the number 94 million. Yeah, that's the number murdered under socialist communism. Here's another number the socialist communists can giggle and dance and bounce about singing. 66 million babies have been murdered in the wombs of their mothers since 1973. Through to the end of 2025. What most Americans don't understand is the corrosive power of socialist communism on the character of the people under its influence. Yeah, now here's an interesting thought. God repeatedly commanded mankind to spread out over the earth, but man's fallen inclination is toward collectivism. The word replenish, it means to fill, to cover completely. Our Creator commanded mankind to multiply and spread out, to completely fill or cover the earth, Genesis 1:28. After the flood, God recommissioned mankind to spread out and cover the earth, Genesis 9:1. But men at that time wanted to concentrate in dense population centers, and about 100 years after the flood, inspired by the first communist dictator, Nimrod, built a tower to unite them in their defiance against God, Genesis 11:4. And don't bother writing me and saying, the communism didn't even exist when Nimrod was there. Well, it did in principle and in policy and in its defiance against God. Okay, anyway, God destroyed their tower and scattered mankind all over the earth, Genesis 11:8. But men naturally gravitate toward collectivism, natural man, fallen man. And over 1,000 years later, God's prophet lamented man's propensity continued to crowd themselves together. Isaiah 5:8, he said, woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. Isaiah 5:8, I'm sure you've noticed that crime, disease, poverty, all of these tend to characterize areas where populations concentrate. Communism is a form of collectivism that encourages large population centers, and much evil develops within them. I've seen this firsthand. When I visited Russia back in, 91, I think it was, in the aftermath of what communism did to the wonderful Slavic people. Living in tightly connected common locations breeds crime, disease, discontent, and disaffection in Russia. The government took the place of the criminals in harassing and stealing from the people. The same thing happens when all property is held in common. It destroys independence. Reliance on God is replaced with reliance on the community. The collectivist mindset is a fear response. The people in Nimrod's day were motivated by Nimrod by the use of fear, lest we be scattered across the earth and be found alone in the earth. That's what he used to get them to go along with his tower. Fear drives this human huddle instinct, and that is the reason fear is used to drive people toward communism today. Government steps in between God and the people and demands loyalty belonging to God alone. The people become slaves. Christianity grounds society on the idea that every man is an individual under God with responsibilities to love God first, provide for his own, especially those of his own household, and to love his neighbor as himself. It fosters personal responsibility in these matters. Looks like I need to take a break right about here. So hold on, my dear friends. I'll be right back. I appreciate all of you who joined me here on the Brain Massage Show. If you enjoy the show and find it helpful, please consider supporting our effort. For the cost of a cup of coffee a month, you can be a great encouragement and help to our cause. Go to brainmassage.net. and make a one-time donation or set up a monthly gift of whatever amount appropriately fits your budget, what you can do, and it shows your appreciation for the program. Remember, you can hear us here on 1240 AM Saturday at noon and Sunday morning at 7. But you can also receive our show when it posts on Friday evening, delivered straight to your email inbox. Go to brainmassage.net, where you can register to have the show delivered to your inbox and receive a link to participate in Brain Massage Live. That's a lot of content for a little love. One audio radio podcast plus 3 live stream episodes of Brain Massage Live each week. And more, by the way. What's a cup of coffee in an average diner? $3? With all the content you receive, that's less than 20 cents each. And as a bonus, you get my show notes. Always documented with the footnotes and the links to the articles that support what I'm saying, all that kind of stuff. It's a really good research tool for you. I need about 250 of my regular listeners to pitch in $3 a month to add to what other generous supporters give monthly to help us bring this show to you. go to brainmassage.net, set up a donation, a one-time gift or recurring gift each month, and register to receive the show delivered straight to your inbox. God bless you, my friends. Thank you very much.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Okay, we left off by pointing out something very important. The collectivist mindset is a fear response. The people in Nimrod's day were motivated by the fear of being left alone in the earth. Fear drives this human huddle instinct, which is why fear is used to drive people toward communism or socialism, which is an effort, by the way, to rebrand communism after Lenin, Stalin, and Mao destroyed that brand. And Pol Pot, by the way, anyway, government steps in between God and the people and demands a loyalty belonging to God alone. That's why the governments are jealous of Christianity. The people become slaves. That's what socialism does. Call it communism light. Call it, the porch of Marx's house. Call it what you want. It subjugates human dignity and buries the individual, disappearing into the masses, usurps the people's power, and turns individuals into slaves of the state. Christianity grounds society on the idea that every man is an individual before God with responsibilities to love God first and under God, to provide for his own, especially those of his own house, and to love his neighbor as himself. And by the way, it's as himself, not above himself. Christianity fosters personal responsibility. Communalism turns this upside down. It is premised on the collectivist idea that man's first and only responsibility is ultimately to the community. The care of the individual and of the family is surrendered to the government of the collective. Indeed, collectivism displaces the family and virtually erases it over time. Government will brook no competition for its supremacy and demands absolute loyalty to the governors of the collective. And by the way, we often speak of those who died for us, for our liberties and so on, and certainly it's true there is no greater love that any man has than this, that he would lay down his own life for his friends, John 15:13. But listen, friend, only Christ died for the liberty and freedom of all mankind. I would hope our brave soldiers died for something transcendent, for the ideals of liberty and justice, for a cause that is right, and for a people willing also to pay the price if called. Friends, he said, not enemies. Jesus died for friends and his enemies too. Genuine Christianity puts God above government and views government as servant to the individual, God-endowed rights of each on the basis that mankind is created in his image and likeness. Christianity, my friend, is antithetical to every major principle of socialism. Take so-called democratic socialists. Socialism requires individuals to think and act as a collective, as a group. And that's why socialists have so much difficulty with fair and free elections. It's also why the Democrat Party is so severe in their chastisement if anybody steps out of line. Socialists have a strange way of thinking about democracy. It's not the rule of individuals. It's the rule of something called the people, as understood institutionally, not as individuals. You must lose your identity in the group. So I hope you've got that. The expression, the people, identifies the collective vote, not a collection of individual votes. I hope I can clarify this for you. Listen up. Democracy does not occur in the mind of the typical socialist, communist, Democrat until after the votes are counted. That's when the people have spoken. Now, that's important, the differentiation. Of course, yeah. Okay, hold on. The process by which they collect the votes actually doesn't mean anything to a Democrat, socialist, communist. That's irrelevant. It's of no real interest to them. In fact, that is a threat because it interferes with their ability to protect the people. from those individualists, see, who elevate personal rights above the collective. That's a no-no in that mindset. On the other hand, notice that they are very interested in controlling the counting process. Friend, understand this and you understand everything. Democratic socialists believe they are the people. And therefore, they have the power, not you, because power to the people, and the people is them. You don't have any right to rule unless you're part of their group. Unless you vote in lockstep with them, your vote is illegitimate. The votes they throw away or otherwise disenfranchise, for example, by canceling your vote with illegal ballots, including votes cast by illegals, and that's happening a whole lot more than they'll ever admit, and multiple ballots cast by Democrats, and then the fraudulent ballots shipped in from China, just saying. They have no prick of conscience in any of these things because these are not the votes of the people. They're protecting the vote of the people. Remember what they did in 2020, boarding up the windows where they were counting votes and dragging boxes of ballots from under tables and, you know, rescanning ballots multiple times. We saw all that. The fraud was obvious. The election of Biden was about as legitimate as the election of Maduro in Venezuela the last time he got in, where they rigged the Smartmatic voting technology. See the connection to Dominion here in my notes. Remember Bernie being pushed out illegally to secure Hillary's nomination? In the mind of the socialist communist Democrat, this wasn't wrong because it was in the interest of the people. Yeah, think about it. Remember Biden's sudden removal and the abrupt installation of Kamala, contrary to the will of the people? Even their own people are not the people. The only people who are the people are the people that rule the people. The exact same thing happens every time communism prevails. Everybody's equal, they say. But I remember one Russian friend wryly quipping, but some people are more equal than others. Yeah, and that guy had been a communist. Everybody in the Democratic Party is equal except Hillary, Obama, and the others who are, well, more equal. The Democratic Party has zero respect for the core notion of democracy. All the people deciding who is given political power within a government ostensibly appointed by the people to protect their rights. There's nothing democratic about socialism or about the Democratic Party. You cannot trust or force people to vote the way they're supposed to, to vote collectively. So you have to take control of the elections in order to impose a guaranteed collective result. So they are against free and fair elections and object to voter ID and proof of citizenship to register, while they support it virtually everywhere else, driver's licenses, ID required to buy alcohol and so on, to attend their assemblies, to intergovernment facilities. Mamdani wants to card people using his government commissaries, think you should know, got a proof that you're a New Yorker to have access to his government-run grocery stores, right? But you don't need to prove you are an American to vote. Nothing is clearer than that the Democrats fear a free and fair election because it threatens their ability to control the outcome, to control the will of the people. Only stupid people can watch the Democratic Party openly snub them, their own party, snub their votes and push into power whoever they choose and not see that these people are the opposite of democratic. The Democratic Party is not democratic. It is anti-democratic. But this does not disturb their conscience because it is seared with the hot iron of power lust. But stupid people, can I say, stupid is as stupid does. Stupid people are their mainstay. That's the mainstay of democratic politics. They depend on stupid people. That's why they've dumbed us down in our education. The democratic-run education program in this country has got to be fixed. Because only stupid people can be convinced something called democratic is democratic only because they call it democratic. It's called democratic, so, well, what's wrong with you? Of course it's democratic. The same people who can believe that because a man calls himself a woman, therefore he is female, well, these are the people you need to believe the Democratic Party is democratic because it says so. Language for the Democrats is a shell game. The ball is power, and the shells are words. The words are irrelevant. It's the ball inside that matters. They hide the ball inside a collection of key words and shuffle the ball around from shell to shell until you're bewildered and forget where the ball is or even what the ball is. Authentic Christianity is not socialist because authentic Christianity believes the people are made up of individuals created in the image and likeness of God, each with inherent dignity, worth, value, and voice. By the way, that includes the stupid people. We want every legal vote counted because Christians believe in law and respect rules. Real ones. Christians are not socialists because socialists don't believe in any of this. They don't believe our rights come from God and that these rights are endowed individually. You know how we believe only Americans have a right to participate in American elections? Well, guess what? They believe only socialists or democratic sympathizers have a right to decide elections. And since they cannot openly deny a ballot to you, they would if they could, they cancel your vote with illegals. They replace your vote with fraudulent ballots. They control how they're counted and, well, they'll count till they get the result that serves the people. That's how they justify this in their wicked conscience, seared with power lust. You see, or stupidity, you see, they think the party is the people. After all, it's called the People's Party, right? Yeah. Wink, wink. Beginning to catch on? No wonder the socialist, communists, and Islamists have moved to take over the Democratic Party. It's because each of these sees itself as the people, the legitimate rulers of the world, and everyone outside their respective group are viewed as the enemy of their right to rule. That way, they can commit any atrocity imaginable by evil men against the, well, the non-people. Remember the Holocaust? Dehumanize the Jews, then cook them in ovens. Related news, what the DSA has in store for us, what the Islamists have in store for us, and what's going on with the Save America Act, what Thune and the traitor Republicans have in store for us. Tune into my Brain Massage live podcast Saturday night at about 8 p.m. Go to brainmassage.net to sign up for notifications. I got to wrap it up. Remember, I told you evil always comes in like a flood, and it seems overwhelming. Satan sends out his Goliaths. The Goliaths and the giants in the land, you know, that intimidate God's people and compromise their faith, serves two purposes. On the side of Satan, it serves to intimidate the only people whose prayers can bring God into this mess. The only way Satan can win is to get you to believe that he is stronger than God. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.